recorded live in the Phantasmo Lounge, high atop the Gary Owens Building in beautiful Midtown Portsmouth, Virginia. It's Phantasmo After Dark with your host, Rob Floyd, and tonight's topic, the Hanna-Barbera Weird Hero Cartoons. Hey, well, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to the old podcast here. Hopefully we'll get back on track, release it on the right days here. We had a little setback. Situations beyond our control. But here we are, and it's no co-host tonight, just me and you, and we're going to talk about the Hanna-Barbera Weird Hero Cartoons. That's what a lot of people have called them, and I'm talking Space Ghost, Frankenstein Jr. and the Impossibles, Johnny Quest, Mitor, the Herculoids, Birdman and the Galaxy Trio, all those. Those cartoons, I remember seeing those when I was a kid in the mid-70s, late-70s. All the way through in the 80s, and from what I understand, they were still showing them into the late 90s on the Cartoon Channel. And they might pop up now and again, but those were made in the late 60s is when they originally came out, and had been rerun forever, constantly on Saturday mornings, and of course when Cartoon Channel came out at different times in the evenings, and they were just fantastic. Cartoons, yeah, some of them were a little cheesy, but they're great. Johnny Quest being probably the best of the whole bunch, and that was an amazing cartoon. Incredible art, character designs, just about all those characters, they were designed by Alex Toth, who was a great comic artist. And Johnny Quest was fantastic because the center character was Johnny Quest, was a young kid. And being a young kid watching these cartoons, you could identify with him. And so you were Johnny Quest in these cartoons. The art was incredible. It wasn't a bright, shiny, happy cartoon. There was a lot of shadows. People got shot with guns, not laser guns, and not winged or missed. The bad guys got killed and blown up, and it was a great card. It had a great theme song, one you'd remember. Not even like a cartoon theme song. It was like a movie theme song. And Ellen, speaking of movies, the voice of Johnny Quest, a little trivia here, was done by Tim Matheson, who was Otter in Animal House, and has done quite a few things since then. But now, every time you watch Animal House, you'll be thinking, hey, Johnny Quest. Of all those cartoons, that's probably my favorite, and I can watch it over and over and over again, because it was a little different. The rest of them were a little more cartoony, but still a lot of fun. But Johnny Quest the characters were Johnny, his buddy Haji, who you find out in later things that Dr. Quest actually adopted Haji. So it was Johnny's adopted brother. Their dog, their little bulldog Bandit, his father, Dr. Benton Quest, who was a scientist that worked for the UN or the government or whoever, and then Johnny and Dr. Quest's bodyguard, Roger Race Bannon, who was probably former Special Forces or some such CIA or something like that. And they would go on adventures, and they'd hop in their big special custom jet and fly all over the world, and people would need Dr. Quest's help to solve this mystery or this tragedy or whatever's going on, and then Johnny and Haji would get, of course, wrapped up in it, and Race would have to come save them, or Johnny would end up saving Dr. Quest and Race. But it was a great cartoon. It's out on DVD as a box set. You can get it. They did later incarnations of this thing, tried to do it in the 90s and update it, and it was god-awful. The animation wasn't near as good. They made Johnny and Haji a little older and a little more modern. It was just did not have the charm of the original at all, and it wasn't near as fun, and I just can't even bear to watch it. But the original, I think it's pretty easily accessible. It probably can't even find it on YouTube, but the box set is well worth getting. Of all these Hanna-Barbera cartoons, they've released the last few years, so they're really easily accessible to get if you want to check them out. Now, when these came out, and when I saw them in the 70s, it wasn't a lot of, being a big comic book reader back then and today, there wasn't what we have now. Like, you got Justice League, you got 100 incarnations of Batman on TV, all the different superhero cartoons and cartoon movies. Pretty much back then, in the 70s anyway, you had the Super Friends, which is a very watered down, homogenized version of the Justice League. But as a little kid, it was still awesome because we got to see our favorite superheroes moving on the screen. And then later on in the early 80s, I think they did a Fantastic Four cartoon, but they had to replace the Human Torch with Herbie the Robot, so kids wouldn't get the idea they could set themselves on fire. I think they really need to give us, nowadays I would say that might need to be done, but back then we weren't really that stupid, I don't think. I never once would that thought have ever crossed my mind, or anybody else's that I knew back then. Just like we knew we couldn't put a towel around our neck and jump off the roof and fly like Superman, because we weren't Superman. Now, wait, let me backtrack a little bit, because there were other cartoons in the 60s. DC did a run of, they had Justice League, they did a Teen Titans cartoon, and each individual, Superman, Hawkman, Green Lantern, Aquaman, The Flash, they had their own individual cartoons, and they weren't great, and they didn't take off like the Hanna-Barbera stuff did, but they were kind of neat. And even Marvel did theirs. They did their limited motion cartoons, which were cool in a way, but awful in another way. They took the actual comic book panels and artwork and would just move the mouse on them or move the arm or the legs or move the character, just slide it across the panel. You got to see them to believe them. There's a little bit of charm to those too, and the theme songs to each one of those. Look those up on YouTube. The Marvel Superheroes 60s cartoons theme songs. There, maybe I'll post that on the Facebook page. You won't forget those songs. Now, getting back to the Hanna-Barbera stuff, though, they came out in the late 60s, and like I said, it was rerun all through the 70s and 80s when I was growing up, and up through into the 90s. And there's even spinoffs, which just kind of blows my mind. Of course, like anything, when they try to approach something from the past that was kind of cool and kind of fun, they camp it up and take it for comedy. And in some instances, it works. Like Space Ghost was just a straight-ahead action-adventure cartoon. And then years later, they did Space Ghost Coast to Coast, which was funny. And Birdman was, again, a straight-ahead adventure cartoon. You know, nothing, it wasn't played for laughs. But years later, they did Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law, or whatever, which was funny, too. But the original cartoons are a lot of fun. Birdman, for instance, was this character. I don't think we ever saw a civilian ID in his secret identity. He had his base, I want to say it was like in a mountain, and he would get his notifications of crimes or things going on over this computer. As Falcon 7 was the guy that I think he had an eye patch like Nick Fury, but he had a mustache too, and he would give him his missions, and he would go flying, and his trained Hawk Avenger would go with him. And Birdman was kind of cool. He had wings and had a kind of a gold costume and a black mask, and he drew his energy from the sun. He had solar powers. He could make an energy shield to block anything shot at him, and he had solar like energy rays he could fire out of his hands. And if he was away from the sun, then his powers would fade. So that's how they capture him and keep away from the sun a lot. But it was a pretty cool cartoon, and he had his battle cry, Birdman, that he'd say every time he'd take off or go after somebody. I really dug Birdman. I liked that cartoon. And I pretty much liked all of them, except the Impossibles. I really didn't care for that much. They were tagged on with Frankenstein Jr., and the Impossibles were three musicians, a band, and they were also the band, the Impossibles. They were also the superheroes, the Impossibles. Their powers were, one was Coil Man, and his torso and legs and arms could stretch out in a spring coil shape to great distances. And there was Fluid Man, who could turn his whole body into liquid and anything from filling a cup to like a tidal wave. And the other was Multi Man. He could create duplicates of himself, an infinite amount of duplicates of himself. And he had a shield too, which was, I don't know why he had a shield with a big M on it, but hey, shields are cool. So maybe that was the reason. I didn't care for that cartoon that much. Years later, they did, in the 70s, they did try to revamp it or rip it off when the Harlem Globetrotters cartoon ran out, and they tried to do the Super Globetrotters. And they had, instead of Coil Man, it was Spaghetti Man, and I forget what the Fluid Man one was, and the Multi Man, and they added two more. Oh, God, it escapes me which ones they were. That was a horrible cartoon. It was Superhero Harlem Globetrotters. The Impossibles were, like I said, they were on with Frankenstein Jr. And I did really like Frankenstein Jr. because, I mean, why wouldn't you like Frankenstein Jr.? The scientist, Dr. Conroy, builds this giant robot for his son, Buzz, to basically be his friend or pilot, and they would go off and fight bad guys. Buzz would ride on Frankenstein Jr.'s back or on his shoulder, and they'd go off and fight the bad guys. Who, as a little kid, who wouldn't want a giant robot? You know, or a giant robot as a friend. It's a given. It's just tailor-made to be popular with kids. And of course, it's Frankenstein, so it's got the monster thing in there. And he had a cool design, you know. It was just a basic, blocky robot. And he had a cape and a mask, because he was a superhero, too, so with a big F on his chest. It was awesome. I just got the DVDs of that recently. I haven't seen Frankenstein Jr. in a long time, and I'm thoroughly enjoying watching those now. You go on Amazon and get these DVDs, and you probably watch some episodes on YouTube, I imagine. It's kind of hard. I think it would be kind of hard for kids today. Little kids wouldn't mind, but kids today would be as cynical and jaded as they are with all the other kinds of cartoons that are on now to get into these charming 60s, 70s hero cartoons. But I love them. Frankenstein Jr., Space Ghost. It was another one of my favorites. And Space Ghost was cool because he was just a hero, a masked hero through and through. You never saw him in his secret identity. Comes from the ghost planet. And you never heard any background on him. Was it DC or Marvel? It was an independent company. Did a Space Ghost miniseries a few years ago that told basically his origin and where he came from. And that was kind of cool. But it was also cool not knowing because you didn't need to know. I mean, you know, you just accept the fact that, okay, he's a guy in a mask and a cape and a costume. He's got this big, cool spaceship that he can turn invisible if he needs to. And he has these two young sidekicks, Jan and Jace, who have costumes and a mask and jetpacks, of course. And they have a monkey who wears a costume and a mask also. And they all have the power. They press the emblem on their chest. They can turn invisible. But Space Ghost is the only one who has these power bands around his, these gauntlets around his wrist that he presses the buttons on, they fire different rays, or he has a shield, a force field, and different types of rays to fight the bad guys. And of course, they can fly without the ship under their own power or their jetpacks. Space Ghost just flies. And they fight a variety of different aliens on different planets. They were not earthbound. Space Ghost was always in space and always fighting different aliens to protect different worlds and such. And a great look, great design, just slick, classic, simple design, and fantastic. Jan and Jace, of course, were basically his two Robins. they had the domino mask and matching costumes, which were kind of basically the same costumes as the original X-Men, except the colors were different. Instead of dark blue and yellow, they were yellow and light blue switched. The colors were switched where they, like the arms and the legs were yellow instead of dark blue, etc. If you did like Space Ghost Coast to Coast and had not seen the original cartoons, you might not enjoy them. But I tell you, one of the greatest cartoons of recent years was Batman Brave and the Bold. That was fantastic, that cartoon. It was basically a love letter to anybody that grew up in reading Silver and Bronze Age comics. And they would always do a teaser, or what I call the James Bond opening, where at the beginning of every episode, it would have like a little mini 2 or 3 minute adventure, and it would end, and the opening credits would go, and the main cartoon would start. Well, one episode, they had Space Ghost teaming up with Batman, and it was awesome. I mean, it was amazing. You can find it on YouTube, or just get the DVDs. It was fantastic. The animation looked great. The voices were pretty damn close to the original voices, and it fit and worked so well. I can watch that over and over again. Man, that was good. So check that out if you can. In addition to Space Ghost, the Herculoids were probably another one of my favorites. And they actually crossed over, I think, on an episode or two, Space Ghost and the Herculoids. But the Herculoids were awesome. They were on this planet, this prehistoric type of planet, and it was Xandor, his wife Tara, and the boy Dorno. And it was basically kind of Tarzan, Jane, and boy, except Xandor had like a loincloth outfit and had a big headband, headdress thing, and had a shield. And he had this slingshot. He could fire explosive rocks out of it. Tara had basically one piece Jane outfit, and a boy. Dorno had pretty much the same outfit as Xandor, except minus the headdress and no shield. But they weren't called the Herculoids because of those three. They were called the Herculoids because, in addition to those three, they lived with these monsters, these creatures, who were their friends. And they would all fight bad guys together. There was Zonk, was the dragon, the flying dragon, who could fire lasers out of the horns on his head and his tail. The tail would fold underneath him, three at the same time. Tundro was the big rhinoceros, armored. It was like crossing like an armadillo and a rhinoceros, except the horn was straight out of the front of his head, and he could fire explosive rocks or boulders or whatever out of that. He was like a tank, that could, basically. Gloop and Gleep were these formless, gelatinous, like little ghosts, basically, who could stretch or form themselves into just about anything and were pretty damn near indestructible. And the giant rock ape, Igu, was basically a cross between King Kong and the Thing, and he was just damn near indestructible and super strong. It was an odd combination of characters that worked together and lived together and fought together, but it was awesome, and it was done really well, and so much fun to watch, and it had a great theme also. And once again, you know, all these things are out on DVD. Check them out, get them, or you know, just watch them on YouTube, see if you like them. But hey, the Herculoids are fantastic. I can watch those over and over and over again, just like most of these things I keep mentioning. And I remember they had great designs, these characters. They were unusual, you know, they were original, and they weren't as watered down as the Super Friends and cartoons became later in the 70s due to standards and practices on television. These actually had a little bit of action in them and had a little bit of, I don't want to say violence, that's the wrong word, but consequences to what happened. And they were a lot of damn fun. I can't say that enough. Let's see, we have Birdman, Space Ghost, the Herculoids, Johnny Quest. The Galaxy Trio was another one. I think that was tagged on with Birdman. I didn't really care for them too much. The one guy, I think, I can't really remember the character's names. One guy, they rode these space cycles, and the one guy could grow real big. The other guy could turn into like a comet or fiery type being. The other girl turned into like a mist or a gaseous. Anyway, to me, they you know, you might like them, but I didn't care for them that much. I put them in there with the Impossibles as far as how much I like them. On Space Ghost, there was also a character called Dino Boy, which I didn't care for very much. Oh, that's one I almost forgot. Mitor. Mitor was kind of cool. Mitor was the caveman hero long before Captain Caveman ever came around. And he had this magic club. I don't know where it came from, but it had properties and powers that he could basically hold it up and transform himself a la He-Man. Wonder where that came from. The regular caveman into the hero Mitor. And when he transformed into Mitor, because he was bigger and stronger, and he had a mask, this cool mask with horns on it and a cape. And his companion, was it a saber-toothed tiger, I think? That's probably right. And they would fight bad guys that attack the prehistoric era land or aliens or what have you. Mitor was kind of cool. Now, if you really like these cartoons, and like I did, if you grew up with this stuff, you know, you got a soft place for them in your heart, and you like to watch them. DC Comics, who I lost faith in years ago for the way they run things, they're doing actually a comic book right now called Future Quest. And if you haven't read this, if you do love these characters and these cartoons like I do, go out to your comic shop and find this comic, Future Quest. It's about 10 issues in right now. The back issues should be easy to get. And what they've done is they've taken the Hanna-Barbera cartoons, because they take place someplace in space, some on Earth, different times and areas, and they've merged them all together in a storyline that makes sense for them to do so. They've updated the look of a couple of them a little bit, but not enough to piss you off. But the way that they have written these characters in the story made them so that they are in the same, on our Earth at the same time. It's fantastic. It's probably one of the most enjoyable comics I've read in a long time. Future Quest by DC Comics, the Hanna-Barbera weird heroes put together. I can't recommend enough. Go out and get it and read it. These cartoons, like I said, later on in the 70s, they got the Super Friends cartoon. You go back and watch it now. You can watch it with a bit of nostalgia. But man, it is so lame. And there was no fighting. There was no real villains until they got into the Legion of Doom and the Galactic Guardians. And it was a little better then with more characters, but it was really watered down and not near as much fun as these original characters coming out of the Hanna-Barbera universe. Now, actually, going back a little bit, though, to the 60s, I forgot to mention, Hanna-Barbera actually got the license and did a Fantastic Four cartoon, which was pretty damn awesome. Because unlike the one in the 80s, this one had the Human Torch in it. And they fought Galactus, and they fought Dr. Doom and the Silver Surfer. And it was just like they took the stories out of the comics and adapted the cartoon. I said, who would have thunk that would be a good idea? It was pretty cool, and it was well done. And that one is a little hard to find. I don't think that's ever been released on DVD. You could probably see it on YouTube. If it has been released on DVD, somebody let me know, because I'd like to get a copy of it. But I used to have a bunch of those on VHS back in the day. It has a Hanna-Barbera stamp all over it, but it's still the Marvel's Fantastic Four. They didn't change them. They didn't do anything to update them or make them different. Of course, why would they update them? It was at the same time that they were out. But it was, that one is a how superhero cartoons should be and pretty much how superhero movies should be. So if you get a chance, drop us a line at the Phantasmo After Dark email, phantasmoad@gmail.com, all one word, phantasmode@gmail.com, or just post a message on the Phantasmo After Dark Facebook page and let me know, what was your favorite Hanna-Barbera superhero cartoon? What was your least favorite Hanna-Barbera superhero cartoon? I'd be curious. I'd be curious to find out what people like the most and which people like the least. If it, you know, if you, everybody thinks the same way I do and the Impossibles weren't that great. I'm a big Herculoids fan. I will watch it over and over again. Johnny Quest, of course, but I like them all. Frankenstein Jr. I have not seen in years, so I'm really enjoying watching that one again right now. And Space Ghost is always fun. And Birdman, I need to get Birdman. I don't have that on DVD yet, so I need to get some Birdman. Once again, I could care less about Dino Boy. There were some other ones too, like Shazam, which was the Magic Genie cartoon. I didn't care much for that. But I never did like... Sinbad was the only thing that I kind of liked. The Sinbad Harryhausen movies from that Middle Eastern type of mythology and things. Now, there was a company, I can't remember the name of the company, but a few years ago, they did a line of figures. There was a Space Ghost figure, but I think it was mainly for Space Ghost Coast to Coast, but still, it was a Space Ghost figure. And there was a company that did a set of Herculoids figures that I would kill to have. Because they were in a box, and they were like, I think, two figures to a box, and each came with a couple of letters. And if you got the whole set, then the letters spelled out Herculoids behind them. I would love to get that set of figures. I did manage to get, I think, the Blue Falcon set, which was cool, and the Birdman set. And those are awesome. It was just cool that they made them. But yeah, I'd love to get the Herculoids. I don't think they made... They did do a Johnny Quest figure a while back, I do believe. But I don't think they did the whole cast of the cartoon. I'm not sure. They could have. I could be wrong. But it would be neat to see some of the other ones. I would kill to have a Frankenstein Jr. figure. Or like a Frankenstein Jr. as big as one of the, like, Shogun Warriors. That would be cool to have. Oh, man. If anybody out there has any Shogun Warrior figures that they don't want, feel free to send them to me. Just drop me a message. I'll give you my address. Those were some cool toys back in the 70s, the Shoguns. That's kind of what Frankenstein Jr. was. Maybe that's probably why I like that one so much, because that's what it reminds me of, is that type of hero type of figure. What else was out there? They did coloring books of some of the things. I'm trying to think of some of the other merchandise that they did for these things. There weren't a whole lot of... When they came out, the merchandising wasn't a big thing as far as... like it is now, anyway. I don't think there were very many toys or anything. I know there weren't any other action figures. That might be about it. Now, I mentioned earlier, Tim Matheson did the voice of Johnny Quest. I think he did the voice of Jace, too, on Space Ghost. Space Ghost, of course, was voiced by Gary Owens, the immortal Gary Owens, who is one of the greatest announcer voices ever. Also was the announcer on Laugh-In and was a news announcer on a couple episodes of The Green Hornet, and... his voice is unmistakable. Did tons of work over the years. Don Messick, who did tons of cartoon voices over the years, was a voice on, was that the Herculoids? Might have been. Those are the only ones that come to mind right off the top of my head. But a lot of those voice actors, it wasn't like it was today. A lot of those guys did a lot of different cartoons. So you'd hear the same type of voices, or the same voices in a lot of different cartoons, where now somebody, one of the characters in the cartoon might have one line, and then they'll have a separate person to do it. And they might have 10 people doing voices on one cartoon, where back in the day, you might have four, you know, for all the characters. Oh, and Key Luke was Dr. Zen on Johnny Quest, and every Asian character, I think, that showed up on Johnny Quest or most of the other cartoons back in the day. Key Luke was an Asian actor who did everything. He started out, he was one of his first roles, I might have this reversed, but he was Charlie Chan's number one son in just about all the Charlie Chan movies. And then he was Kato in the Green Hornet serials that they put out. And he's done tons. He was all over television in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, right up until he passed away, and did voices for tons of cartoons. There was a cartoon called Charlie Chan and the Chan Clan in the 70s, which was basically Charlie Chan and all his children. And it was Key Luke, who was actually Charlie Chan's number one son in the live-action movies. Later on, he... got to play Charlie Chan. I'm trying to think of anybody else of note. That's all I can think of off the top of my head.
But hey, you can drop me a line on
on the Facebook page or the Phantasmo After Dark email and clue me into something I missed. Be cool to hear from anybody out there that can shut me down or give me something that I may have missed. Or, you know, like I said before, let me know what your favorite Hanna-Barbera superhero cartoon was and what your least favorite was. That'd be kind of neat to see. Now, since I'm the only one here, this is probably going to be a short episode this time because I am, I don't have a co-host to bounce stuff off of, and it's just me kind of rambling on about these cartoons that I love, and hopefully some people out there that love them as much as I do. We can't do our segment we do at the end of every episode that called The World Revolves Around Planet of the Apes because there's nobody to throw one at me, and if I try to throw one at myself, then it'll like it's rigged. So we'll just forgo that this time, and I'll give you something to look forward to in the next episode. Because remember, the world does revolve around Planet of the Apes, and I can prove it. And I will next episode. So that's about all I've got for this time. I hope somebody was listening. Hope you enjoyed it. And I hope to hear from some of you on the Facebook page or in the email. And as always, on the Facebook page, I'll post some images from these cartoons we talked about in a folder and probably post some trailers or some scenes from some of the cartoons, or at least maybe some of the intros. That'd be kind of cool. That's about it. So until next time, thanks for listening. Good night.